Cape Talk. Food.
Now, if you were listening last week, you'll know that five of our listeners won a fantastic food and wine pairing experience at La Motte Wine Estate, compliments of our Secret Something competition. And today, everyone else gets to enjoy a theoretical version of what they'll experience, because we're joined in studio by the estate's chef and cellar master to talk to us a little bit about their history, about their wines, their food, how to create the perfect food and wine pairing, and of course, about their award-winning Syrah, and particularly getting to grips with this variety. It is my great pleasure to welcome in studio cellar master Edmond Tablanche and chef Eric Bulpert. Thank you so much for being with us today and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bubba.
And I've got to confess, I'm more of a white wine drinker than a red wine drinker, so I've recruited some outside help to join in the red wine tasting today. Our listeners Charles and Tracy are with us in studio. Lovely to have you guys with us as well.
Thank you for the invite.
Won't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Tracy?
I'm Tracy Franco, and I currently work for White House Linen. I was actually at La Motte not so long ago, Mother's Day.
Okay.
And I experienced their wines and their food. It was phenomenal.
So no wonder you've come back for a second helping today.
Absolutely.
Tracy, lovely to have you with us. And Charles, how about you? Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, thank you for the invite. It's great being here. Big wine lover. I've actually got a diploma in wine.
Okay.
So I really enjoy it. And I'm with Wells Corporate Management. We do corporate entertainment and specialize in basically wine events.
Oh, fantastic. Well, okay, so two really qualified people then in studio with us to do the tasting as well as myself. Before we do get to the tasting, though, I really would like to find out a little bit more about the story of La Motte, because this is a farm with a very, very long history. Edmund, can you tell us a little bit about that history?
Well, the history goes back to 1695. It was one of the first farms granted in Franschhoek to the owners of those time. It was a German immigrant. And then over the years, 17 owners later, the current owners, the Rupert family, bought it in around about 1970. And everything was renovated, replanted. There was a cellar built in the mid-80s. And we started off with our wines. And it doesn't sound long ago, but for South African wine industry, it is quite a while ago, because we established brand in South Africa. In those years, there was only about 80 cellars around. Today, there's more than, there's about 600 cellars.
Yeah.
So it's a long South African history in the wine industry. A lot of things happened, and we are happy to still be here.
You said that the Rupert family replanted the vineyards. Was there a shift from one kind of wine to another, or was that just about introducing a bigger variety of wines and grapes?
Well, over the years, the fashion changed. We went basically from sweeter styled wines, more and more drier the later years. And everybody selected the things that he focused on. There's, for instance, the indigenous Pinotage variety, and there's Chenin Blanc, which is big in South Africa, but everybody makes his own choice. And we decided on Syrah on the red side, or Shiraz, if you want to call it that. It's the same thing. And then also our volumes is also very big in Sauvignon Blanc. So those two was what we selected and what we think we do well.
Back in the days, a long, long time ago, when I was waitressing, to get one's hands on a consignment of La Motte Millennium was the delight of any restaurant owner's week. Is that still a brand that you, a label that you produce?
The Millennium is a big part of the history. 91 was a very good vintage, which basically put La Motte on the map. It was an extremely good wine that came from La Motte. It used to be the flagship of the cellar. Today, it's still around. Although it's more our affordable offering lately, it's a blend. It used to be Cabernet-based for many years, so it's wines, if you still have a 91 that is still drinking well. And lately we have it, we make it more juicy and it's more drinkable at a younger stage. Mm. It's Merlot-based, so if you know your varieties, Merlot is aged quicker, so it's a more juicy, approachable wine.
Okay, we're going to talk more about specifically the Syrah in a little while, but just while we're talking about the history of the farm, you mentioned that there was a massive renovation from the 1970s. I mean, the buildings on the farm date back to the 1700s. They have been restored. You've got one of the only working water mills left in the area, which dates back hundreds and hundreds of years. Do visitors to the farm have the opportunity to really explore those historic buildings?
Yes, there's from time to time there's tours. They can just go into La Motte's website. We'll probably say it later. And then go and search there. You can go and there's people that guide you through a historical walks. There's the old mill. There's the old manor house that both of them date back to about 1753. So there's a lot of history, and it's the history on the farm is important for us, and we also to upkeep everything to keep it neat, and there's a lot of our income going spending our national heritage there.
Absolutely. Four of those buildings are provincial heritage sites, by the way. Now, Lamotte is these days synonymous with the name of the artist Pierneef, and we'll talk to your chef in just a minute about what's happening at the restaurant Pierneef à Lamotte. But can you tell us a little bit about where that history begins?
Pierneef is around about 2003 we started with a new wine range, and it was basically to have a smaller volume with a new name. Everything in the wine industry that's smaller is theoretically better normally. And we thought of a name, and around us all these Pierneef works was hanging, because the family already owned three collections of the Linocut collection, which consists of about 128 different works. And our owner, Henri Rupert Kuchlenberg's father, bought three of these collections for each of the children. So these are hanging in the cellar. So it's immediate thought for us to call it Pierneef, but we had to get a permission from the family. And they found the daughter, who's still alive and well and in England, and they approached her, and she happily agreed. So we can use the name. She said we can give her three cases of wine per year.
I love that. So yeah. Pierneef's daughter gets her co-consignment of wine, and you get to use the name. You've mentioned Hanley Rupert Kuchlenberg, the current owner, obviously a celebrated mezzo-soprano who our classical music lovers will be familiar with. You actually do host quite regular musical concerts on the farm, don't you?
We do monthly concerts, yes. The next one will be at Pastille Festival next
July,
month, 13th of July. So we try, if we hear of somebody coming into the country with a lot of talent in those lines, then we catch them and we bring them to Lamotte, and it's actually the old cellar, which can take 80 people, and it's a lovely event. You get Lamotte wine, something to eat, and a lovely concert.
And an absolutely beautiful setting as well. Okay. Now, we've spoken about the restaurant. Let me bring Chef Eric in at this point. A reminder that Eric Bulpert is the chef at Pierneef à Lamotte. Tell us a little bit about the style of food that you're serving in the restaurant, Eric.
Well, yeah, style of food. We focus on heritage food, but heritage is such a broad spectrum. We have so many different heritage in our country, so it leaves the playing ground really open for chefs, for myself. So with things like Bastille Festival coming up, we'll focus a lot more on the French side of things. We also try and bring food in that brings back childhood memories. We all grew up, we're going to taste today, we all grew up eating sausages and sausage roll, for instance. So we all find a fun way to play with that sort of childhood memory and the heritage that we have into our food. We try and focus on not to have our food put in a box, per se. Our heritage being so wide, like I said, leaves open a field for us, and it's fun.
Okay. Are there any particular sort of signature dishes which you can never take off the menu because people want them every time they come?
Not really. I try not to focus on signature dishes. Every time we come up with a dish, we try and do something different, which is not always easy. Sometimes you have to fall back onto things you've done before. But so it's always a creative process to do something that we haven't done before. We have a big vegetable garden that's a part of our inspiration. South Africa is known for farms where our vegetables come from. Mm-hmm. Lamotte is a farm itself, if no one knows that by now. So we try and focus on a farm style, sort of farm to table with our vegetable garden and the wine that we have to cook with. Not every chef has fantastic world-class wine to put in his food.
So
inspiration comes from around the farm, from around Franschhoek, and from our individual heritages.
Okay.
Childhood memories.
So talk to us then about the dishes you've prepared today, and then perhaps Edmund can tell us what we're going to pair them with, and then what we'll do is take a short ad break so that we can munch and swirl and make noises behind the microphone, and after the break we'll give you some feedback. First, let's start with the food. What have you prepared
today?
Okay,
sure. So we do food and wine pairings at the Mott, which consists out of five canapés that's paired with our flagship wines, this being the Syrah week coming up. We've done two of the canapés that we've paired with our Syrah. One is a venison sausage roll. Now Syrah likes quite a bit of spice, like anise and coriander and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's a springbok sausage roll that one of the winemakers actually shot himself. That's found its way into a sausage roll that we all grew up with. Lots of spices, a little bit of chutney. As we all know, South Africa loves, dare I say, Mrs. Balls. Mm-hmm. But we grew up eating chutney. And then the second canapé is a susati, like an old-school kerk bazaar curry susati. And once again, the spices and the charriness from that works really well with the Syrah.
Now, there are two different Syrahs. What are we tasting here, Edmund?
Yes, can I add, you mentioned the Syrah week. It's actually the thing that Syrah SA as an association, they started last year with a week of celebrating Syrah and venison, because it's such a big part of our life in South Africa. So there's 25 sellers taking part this week in presenting a special program of their choice. What I brought along here is two Shirazes that we make at La Motte. The one is our La Motte Shiraz coming from Franschhoek, and the other one is made from grapes coming from way south, you know, Ilum, Cape South Coast, close to Bedarstorp. So it's made in the same winemakers, but different origins. So you will taste the difference.
All right, so give us a minute or two to do the tasting, and we'll be back after this with some feedback on what we've experienced and continue the conversation about particularly Syrah, Shiraz, as you might know it, and answering some of your questions. If you have got a question about food and wine pairing, about Syrah or Shiraz particularly, or anything else you'd like to know about La Motte, please just drop an SMS to 31567 or a voice note to 072-567-1567.
Cape Talk. Food.
It's not often I get wined and dined in studio. What an absolute pleasure, particularly when the wine is as good as this. And I say that as somebody who is not generally a red wine drinker. This is smooth and light enough that I would be able to drink it on a regular basis. But don't ask me. Let's ask Tracy and Charles, who've come in as our tasting panel. Tracy, we've tasted both the Franschhoek-derived version and the one with the grapes made from Ilum and Bredasdorp. Did you have a particular favorite?
I love my red wines, so and particularly I like blends. But I found that the first one we had, which was the Franschhoek one, I thought that was so beautiful with your venison. It was just amazing.
Beautiful combination,
very,
isn't it?
Very, yeah, beautiful combination, absolutely. And I can actually see my kids eating something like that. That's something that I actually want to mention. Like when we went to La Motte, they really do cater for not only for the adults, but for children as well.
That's great to hear, because it can be really challenging getting kids used to dining in a sort of a fine dining setting. That's really great to hear that they were welcome there as well.
No, absolutely. Mine's 11 and 12, and they're fussy eaters, and they really enjoy the food and the ambience and everything.
Okay.
And left mommy to have the wine.
Which is really important as well. Charles, what about you as the wine man in the room? Your thoughts on the two you've tasted?
I think the cellar master is the wine man in the room. both delicious. The first one being from Franschhoek, I thought the nose was much more fuller than the second one, but the aftertaste and the fullness of the second one, I found amazing. That's to me actually more superior, if I may use that word, than the first one, which surprised me. Perhaps we could find out a little more about that.
Yeah, Edmund, tell us a little bit about these two wines.
Yeah, I just want to tell Tracy, if the children are interested, we make alcohol-free wines in our other company, Leopard's Leap, so food and wine pair there as well.
Our range just launched, called Natura.
Okay.
So look out for Natura. Yes, the difference is really mostly because of the origin. On your left, the grapes from Franschhoek. It's traditionally a little warmer area, if in compared to the other area, obviously. Then you get fuller, fruitier flavors. Syrah can show you a lot of things. It ranges from fruit to meatiness, to perfume, to sweet things like candy floss, believe it or not, and licorice, and then also spice. So you will see on the left, it's more about the mulberry and plumminess and fuller flavors. And on your right, it's more about the perfume and the spice. But because of higher acidities in the cooler areas, it is a wine that sort of aged longer. We put it in more new oak, so it is more superior, and it's also more expensive. So you taste correctly, if I must add it.
You mentioned there was a niece in the sausage roll, and the second one from Elam to me really brought out the hint of a niece in the sausage roll on a different level. I mean, Eric, when it comes to pairing wines in the restaurant, do you offer guidance to people depending on what they're ordering off the menu, or do you have to go by what the customers ask for?
We do. Our team is extensively trained in all the wine from Lamotte. When we do things like the food and wine pairing, the canapés with the wine, we always have Edmund in. He has a fantastic palate. So whenever, you know, my focus is mainly food, so I don't always sit and drink and eat together. So I sometimes miss things that he pick up. But everyone on our staff is trained to upsell the wine, obviously, and to pair it with the food. So when we come up with a dish, for instance, we would have a few wines out. We would taste the dish and then see what wine would go really well with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the wine that we will recommend for the dish.
And you do it so well, Edmund, that I know that you've just recently won your fifth award for the best food and wine pairing at the Drinks International Wine Tourism Awards. What does a recognition like that mean to you and your team?
It confirms that we are doing something good, that we try to do good. It's really special to win it from somebody that sits overseas as a magazine based organization. So that's what we try and do every day. We, as Eric said, we sit with our staff and we taste wine and we taste food, and we offer a few things that also give weight to the entry that you do, and that's why they rewarded us for five times in a row.
Well, congratulations to the team, and I have to say, I chose the wrong job. I love the idea of sitting tasting food and wine all day to get it right. Tracy mentioned that she'd been with Lamotte for Mother's Day. You've got a special Father's Day lunch lined up this coming weekend, haven't you?
Yes. Once again, we're doing Father's Day, and we're going big. So very meaty. It's a 450 rand three-course meal. Two starters, two main, two desserts. And it's just a fun thing to come and do for your dad, mm-hmm. And then obviously for your mom as well when it's Mother's Day. Lamotte always try and do something special for these occasions.
A quick question for the wine man, Edmund. One of our listeners wondering how much the glass matters when it comes to tasting wine, the shape and size of the glass. Should it be different depending on which wine you're tasting?
Well, you can drink wine out of any glass. That's physically very possible. But I can promise you it adds to the experience, if not half of the experience. I recently was privileged to, on two occasions this year, to have a tasting presented to us by a glass company, mm-hmm. Where they show it to you that even Coca-Cola can taste better in a different glass. So each style, each variety has his favorite glass, and this glass company for years now have perfected it to an amazing you can double your experience with the wine. Really? if you have the correct glass. Very important.
Okay, thanks for a very interesting question from the listener there. Right, we've mentioned Father's Day. You've mentioned that it is Syrah week, so a good week to be celebrating this particular wine. But you also then, throughout the winter months, have food and wine pairing evenings, don't you? I think the next one is also coming up within the next few days, isn't it, Eric? Or Edmund?
It is coming Thursday. Mm-hmm. That one is unfortunately fully booked. We have a Sauvignon Blanc celebration and a Syrah celebration annually, so the Syrah one now, it coincides with the Syrah and Venison weekend. It's now Thursday. We present a tasting, which this year we call Syrah and Friends. It's all about Syrah and the varieties that blend well with Syrah. And also then going in the restaurant, the friends in food of Syrah. Mm-hmm. But we will also later in August, we will have a vintage wine and venison evening. And then people can also, it's not fully booked yet on that date, but people can also attend that. We have a few things like this during the year. There's also this weekend, this coming Saturday, there's the Franschhoek Winter Wines. People don't only have to visit La Motte, they can extend the visit to Franschhoek, and they can go and taste all the Franschhoek cellars at the Franschhoek cellar in town. Where each cellar select one wine, we will have our Syrah Viognier being bought. And then also on the Bastille, the next one is also the Bastille weekend on 13 and 14 of July.
Okay, so for more details on any of those experiences, or all of them if you're a huge fan, the website to visit is edmundlamotte.com.
Lamotte with an hyphen, LAMOTTE
.co.za. Lamotte.co.za. And I want to say a huge thank you to Cellar Master Edmund Tablanche and Chef Eric Bulpit for joining us, as well as our tasters Charles and Tracy. Great to have you with us. And let me finish with this WhatsApp, which says, I was taken to Franschhoek for my birthday and by default ended up at Lamotte, as the place where you intended to go was closed. It was the best meal I have had for a long time. Simply exceptional. And what a lovely way to finish the segment. Thank you everyone for being with us.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.